rock. R&B Week, the biggest show in the game. We take no talk. We take no talk. Taraka Matsana Baka. We the biggest in the game. The biggest show in the game. DD Barber was good. Shout out the mayor in the building. Uncle Dan in the building. Consistency is key. Consistency is key. Brand new 7th Street. Biggest show in the game, R&B Week. We just set it off with Johnny Gill yesterday, live from London. He had Janet Jackson right next to him. Tonight, we got a young lady who's one of the most talented young ladies in the R&B field. Good friend of mine, 7th Streeter. 7, if you tuned in, send me a request because I keep sending you a request. We keep talking on the text, and only the big show could do this. Bring you huge stars every single night right to your phone for free. Ain't that a trip? Right to your phone for free. Brooklyn Batty was good. Massimo was good. Franco, what's good? Alex Tremill, what's good? Misery, what's good? Willis Ave Legend, what's up, baby? My brother. And so we out cheering all that. We out cheering all that. I flew in on the plane. I really went through like 17 meetings today, one after another, after another. I don't know why when I come to the city, they got 1,000 meetings for me. Shout out to Rock Nation. I appreciate all the work. I appreciate the love. I'm just venting just cause, right? And so we the biggest show in the land. And you got to understand, nobody gave us nothing. Nobody gave us this space. We just fought for it and we took it. And so here we are, a year and close to 5 months, and we still the biggest in the game. And I try to bring you some exciting stuff, educational as well as motivation, as well as talking real stuff about everything that's going on in the world. You know, it's crazy times right now. It's really, really crazy times right now. And so we got to get it together. Everybody got to snap out of this shit they on and get it together. Like it's too much violence going on. It's too much mental illness. It's too much mental illness going on out there. And we got to pay attention to what's going on. There's states that's cutting back the voting regulations to make sure that black and brown people can't vote next time. Like, this is some real legendary shit going on. And so they can't win on the narrative. So now they're trying to stop you and prevent you from going to vote. But you don't care. The Kardashians last episode. You thinking about that? You don't care about real shit that's affecting your life. About laws that's affecting your life. Crazy shit going on out there. And people are really, really wild. And so we went in quarantine. People stood in the house. Now it's almost like people can't deal with being outside of the house. It's just unexplainable, bro. What's going on out here? Seven of you tuned in. I know you texting me. But yeah, but their laws affect you. Somebody, you know, some scientific god from the hood just said, fuck their laws. All right, well, those laws apply to you if you live in the United States of America. You can hallucinate all you want. Whatever you want to do, hallucinate as much as you want. But those laws apply to you. And so you're watching all this shit going on. Motherfucker tried to take over the plane. Come on. And what's crazy is they had a girl. She just crashed in Miami. And so the cops came. She tried to hit and run. She almost run over the cop. Now she's charged with attempted murder of a police officer. She going to jail for like real time. And so one thing that's certain out there is that you can get killed and you could go to jail. If you don't believe me, if you went out there and snuffed the cop, your ass would be in jail. That it's so easy to go to jail. It's so much harder to get out. So, you know, it's almost like when we lose weight. Fucking go on a diet, kill yourself. The minute you eat, you gain all the shit back. And so it's like, yo, Seven, where you at, mama? Because we talking on the text. We got to get on here for the people. My sister just a little. She might be a little bugged out. Yeah, that blue magic, Gordo. You see what it is? And so, yeah. And so like, with the brothers down in Philly, they thought this wasn't America. This was their own country, and they made a complex with the move, and they blew that shit up. And so, whether you don't like these laws, you know what I mean? We are living in America. You know? So, you know, you got to play by the laws. Service is bad. I'm trying. Okay, let's keep trying. Let's keep trying. Let's try to make this happen. If we gave up, we would have never got this far. And this game of life is something else, man. This game of life is something else. I don't know. I can't get her. She's trying. I'm trying. And so, yo, Danny. Who did the big pun artwork? Because everybody keeps asking who did the big pun artwork.
Eddie Rivera.
Thank you, Eddie, man. I appreciate you, my brother, for the artwork. You got my brother looking beautiful up there. Magical. real 2021. Somebody asked me, what do you think of Benifer 2.0? I'm like, yo, this shit crazy. Like, yeah. The game is crazy. What do you think of Benifer 2.0? What do you think of Benifer 2.0? And I'll tell you, shout out to Eddie Rivera. Let me tell you something. You could tell the people ain't take the vaccine. They got the two masks on. They still like, you know, ducking. They still scared. They still, bro, you see them stadiums? By the way, them stadiums on TV, if you don't prove that you've been vaccinated, you can't get in Atlanta Arena or Milwaukee or the Nets or whatever the case may be. Like, you got to be vaccinated to get into these places. So be clear that, you know, I don't get paid for vaccination. Shout out to Eric Adams. He's running for mayor of New York City. We know him well. Too many of my friends love him. And I said, all right, Eric, come on a big, big show. Let the people know what you're here to offer. You know what I'm saying? Let them know what you're here to offer, because up in New York, the mayor's race is coming very, very soon. So let the man get in here and get in and talk his shit. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. It's okay. You don't have to have the vaccine, you know. My brother Khaled be laughing at me. He be like, yo, did you get your joint of weed with your vaccine? Because, you know, they offering in some states weed, lottery. I fucked around. I did it too early. I'm not even in the chance to get a lottery or a fucking burger, something. Yo, Seven is crazy. But that's my girl, though. I love Seven, man. I mean, like a little sister, she's good people, bro. She's really and very, 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 very talented. She's very, 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 very talented. And until we find out, I'm going to tell you a story, right? I don't know if I told this one before, because this story right here is in the chamber. This is a major, 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 major chamber. Right. And so I had a lawyer. You let Conspiracy Joe tell you he got jammed up or something. This is my lawyer for many years. So he took me to meet this guy. So he took me to meet this guy. I spoke to Seven like three times today. I don't know why we can't get her on here. So he took me to meet this guy. Joe, this guy, you got to meet him. So I go over there. It's Park Avenue. Building, skyscraper, New York. The most expensive block in New York City is Park Avenue. This guy got the building named after him. His name is Richard Dreyfuss. So he says, Joe, this guy wants to meet with you. He's a Wall Street guy. You know, he deals with a lot of people. I get up in there. It's a big building. The man got pictures of Madonna, Elton John, whoever you talk about, he got them on there, right? And so I go sit down with the man. Man got this big office. He got three TVs. You know, these stock market people, they watch the stock market all the time. Like, if you was a gambler, you watch sports. And so I go in. Are y'all paying attention? Do you want to hear this story or not? Let me see some fire signs. Let me hear some fire signs if y'all want to hear this story or not. This is a good one. This is a major. This is a good one. This is a Fat Joe story in the chamber. This is an all-time great. And so my lawyer, my former attorney, takes me in there and I meet this Wall Street guy. He turns around and he says, Joe, this is maybe 10 years ago or something. He turns around and says, Joe, meet Richard Dreyfuss. So I meet the man. The man is smooth. He turns around. Boom, he's talking to me. He says, listen, man, we handle people money. We make people tons of money. We invest in Wall Street. I need Carmelo Anthony, Amari Stoudemire, John Beeson, all the athletes you're cool with. I want to manage their money. I understand you're the link to all these athletes. So I said, you know, I'm cool with a lot of them, but I can't tell them what to do with their money. So he's telling me, yo, all you got to do is introduce them to me. I'll sign them up, handle their money, and, you know, you'll get PC for introducing me to these guys. A percentage of whatever money he makes them or whatever the thing is. So as I'm talking to him, out of nowhere on the TV, it goes, Bernie Madoff has been arrested. Now, Bernie Madoff is the Ponzi scheme, the biggest crook ever live in America's history, right? He robbed people of millions and billions of dollars. So when he does that, Bernie Madoff coming out of handcuffs, I'm in his office right there at that time. When on the screen, Bernie Madoff is coming out of handcuffs. The man turns around and goes, so about Carmelo Anthony, about all your athletes, we can make a lot of money with these guys. He said, you believe this? They locked this guy up in Wall Street for 100 years. I can't believe that. And he's talking to me with a straight face. Little did I know that this guy was the second Bernie Madoff in history. Little did I know that this guy was a crook. So as I'm sitting there, he didn't sweat. He had to know he was next to go. He had to know he was going to the feds like Bernie, like the shit, the gig's up. They figured out where the stash at. They figured out that he knows he's going to jail. At that moment, when he seen Bernie Madoff out, he knew, oh shit, I'm next. Did he sweat? He kept his composure, turned around and was trying to gas me for more money. Right, so I said, all right, it sounds good. This, let me see what happened. This, that. A couple of months later, you could Google this shit. Everything I say is the truth. What I'm trying to tell you is everything I say is the truth. And so the man, Richard Dreyfuss, flew to Canada to meet a man, a big rich guy in Canada, Toronto. Big, so he goes to have a meeting with the guy. He gasses the guy to give him a $25 million check in that meeting. I'm going to invest it, you know, my building in Park Avenue, my this. You know, nobody knew he was under investigation or nothing. The guy writes him a $25 million check. The guy's leaving his own office. Let's just say Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson is from Canada. Richard Dreyfuss flew up there, gassed him for $25 million. Mr. Johnson writes Dreyfuss a check. Johnson says, I got to go. I got a plane to catch, whatever the case may be. He's leaving his own office. Dreyfuss says, all right, I'll be behind you. I'm going to use the restroom. Dreyfuss comes out. He stays there for a little bit. Another gentleman comes inside the office. So now when the other man comes inside the office, Dreyfuss says, hey, how you doing, whatever his name is. He says, how you doing, Mr. Johnson? So Dreyfuss is lying to the other man after he got $25 million that he's the man who gave him the $25 million in his office. So he walks and goes to the main office and is trying to gas this guy for millions of dollars too. This guy's assuming that this guy's Johnson, but he's Richard Dreyfuss. I hope y'all getting this with me. And so he turns around. The secretary here, the secretary hears Dreyfus acting as if he's Mr. Johnson. So she calls up Mr. Johnson, who she works for, and says, Mr. Johnson, the guy you met with earlier, he was like, yeah, Richard Dreyfus. He said, I think he's impersonating you because a gentleman came to meet him. He's in your office with the gentleman, and the gentleman addressed him as Mr. Johnson. So the guy, Mr. Johnson, calls the feds in on him, and they grab Dreyfus in the airport trying to come to New York with the $25 million check and some money he got from the other guy. Now, Richard Dreyfus goes down. Now, the reason why this story is so important, why I call myself the Forrest Gump, because why did God put me in this guy's office when Bernie Madoff went to jail? This guy knew he was going down. But why am I there? This story's in the news. The guy been in jail forever. There's no such thing as snitching. You could read this shit up. You could Google. Suck your mother. Right? And so, this shit is crazy how God always puts me in these places. It's almost like the story I told you last week about when they called me the fake beard guy. But I had just came from the barber battle. I came from the barber battle from the best barbers in America. Patty, El Body Barber. I met the greatest barbers in the world. Seen their work. And I made Rich the Barber duplicate their shit. And they called me fake. I have fake hair, fake beard. Now, you can't make this shit up. No, it's amazing. But, you know, it's, you know, Fat Joe, man, he the Forrest Gump of this shit, man. Let me tell you something. Now, you can't make this shit up. And so the guy, you people don't know, man. This motherfucker, man. And so I definitely, I know Seven is trying to request. I know I keep trying to request her. I mean, we might have to do another day or something. I don't know why we can't do it. And so, you can't make the shit up, man. You can. I got one for you. I don't know if y'all ready for this one. I do not know if y'all ready for this one. Fire signs if you ready for this one. No, this one right here. So you know the Dreyfus, my ex-lawyer, who I think was, he got jammed up with some shit. He might have been a degenerate gambler. And they told him, yo, to get yourself out the problem, let Joe jam up all his athletes and we're going to rob him Ponzi scheme. So I don't know why he bow-tied, he gift-wrapped me and brought me to the wolf who robs you. You get what I'm saying? Man, like he walked me into the guy who Ponzi schemes you and takes your whole existence. It's cool, right? I got one for you guys. If you don't want it, I'll get the fuck off right now. Happy birthday, Ice Cube. I know it's, this is almost like when you do stand-up comedy and they think you're going to bomb. And so it's R&B week, and for some reason, technical difficulty, I can't get my sister Seven on here. She's trying, I'm trying, and I still pitch a shutout. I'll give you some shit, some stories you never heard of in your fucking life. I forgot which one. Oh, Harvey. Are you ready? Yo, Rashad, this ain't White Van, but this is... This is in my book. I might be giving y'all too much right now. So I'm Rock Nation. I'm going to give you this talk. And then I'm out of here. White Van told you, Rashad, you really want me to go to jail? You keep trying to make me tell you gangster shit. Pretty Lou, what's up, my brother? So I'm Rock Nation. They step to me, they do a deal. They want to do an American Idol. They got NBC, ABC, and CBS on deck. I'm not going to tell you just, I'll tell you, it was supposed, just say me and Rock Nation. You do assumptions to whatever you want. And so we're going to do a new American Idol. Joe, you're the host, you're one of the judges, and you're my partner. Equity, meaning I own this shit with Rock Nation. I fly to LA 8 weeks in a row. Going to meet these people, going to meet these people, going to meet these people, going to meet these people. So we get close to it. So the deal was supposed to be done with Harvey Weinstein. And so I meet with these guys. Now, guys, part of the reason, let me give you a thing. When you're cool with a celebrity or you cool with somebody with money, part of the way to stay cool is to not really ask for pictures, not make annoying comments or ask some questions of this and that. It's to act cool, almost like you hang out with celebrities all the time or rich people all the time. So you gotta have a face on, like, you know, this is normal shit. So I get in the meeting with the Weinsteins and they start talking numbers. And the man's like, well, I think in 1 year, Fat Joe can make $100 million. You know, this eventually will grow into 300. Bro, I'm from Trinity Ave, 1000 Forest Projects. The man start literally talking that type of motherfucking money. I start, there's nothing I can do, slipping off my chair. This happened in real life. And grabbing the legs under the table. I started grabbing the legs. I could not take it. I was grabbing the legs under the table like, oh my God, I heard 100 million, 300 million. Let me tell you something. I go. I walk from the Harvey Weinstein building to fucking Four Seasons. I didn't even want to drive to Rosewood, nothing. I walked like 10, 15 blocks. Like, I couldn't take it. This is it. I'm a shit on the world. You know, it's my chance to run naked in Times Square. I'm going to shit on everybody. Right? The next day, ladies and gentlemen, I turn on the TV. Breaking news, movie mogul, Harvey Weinstein, Me Too movement, over 20 women. I'm like, ah! It can't be him. So I call up my people and I'm like, yo! And they're like, yeah, it's him. Joe can't win, man. Story of my life, man. That big bag, that you know, gift wrap, you can't make this shit up. It happened with Boy George. Happened with Boy George when I was in the streets. Oh, there she go. Oh, shit. There she go.
My
Yo.
God.
Bro. Yo, Seven, what's up? You was late or your shit just wasn't working?
No, my shit's still not working. I can't even see myself right now. It's like fucked up.
I can see you perfectly fine.
Listen, I'm like, I have to, you know, figure out my situation because the service is so fast. What's good,
let me tell you something, Sev. You used to be a little girl. You're a woman now.
A little bit, you know?
Nah, you all grown up. And I've been watching you. You all grown up.
Thank you.
And where's your confidence at now? Because you went from being like young, cute, to now you like on some real sexy shit.
I mean, I'm just happy. Truth be told, I'm really, really happy. I'm just in a space where I just like, I don't know. I'm in a good headspace. I don't know, I get up every morning, I meditate, I watch my sermons, I drink my beer, I get my vibe, I mind my business. So I think that that's honestly where it comes from, I guess, if anything.
And you everybody's homegirl.
You know what? I like to have good girlfriends, and I like to have good guy friends. So I'll take that. I like good
people. Yeah, because everybody talk highly of you. They never talk bad about you. And you cool with everybody, and you work with guys, and you always around guys. But we never hear no type of bullshit, no type of trash,
nothing. We're going to knock on some wood with that, you know, from your mouth to God's ears, you know.
Nah, I'm telling you, I remember one night you was in the car with us, and I was playing you some Bobby Brown. And I was like, yo, Bobby was the man. Bobby was the king. And you were like, for real, they say that because you're younger than us.
Yeah.
But I was like, yo, Bobby was the man. Bobby was the king. Mm-hmm. And I love the one time I seen you do the Whitney Houston. Mm. You sang the Whitney Houston. What was Whitney Houston to you? And how many times you practiced doing that? Because that's the best I ever heard somebody sing Whitney Houston besides Whitney Houston's.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Man, I love Whitney Houston. I used to do a Whitney Houston show in, like, the mall in my, like, in my hood, right, where I would sing all Whitney Houston. I Will Always Love You, The Greatest Love of Mine, like, all of that. So I literally just, she's the voice. I watched The Bodyguard on the plane on the way to Miami the other day. Like, I just love Whitney. It don't get no better. That's a level of black female that we will never see that again. That's Whitney, you know? So she's everything to me. Everything. She was the ultimate.
You know, some people just like rappers, like right now, the Lil Baby, he's spitting flames, yes, right? So every now and then you get a rapper that's just going crazy, right? Mm-hmm. You also get singers to just go crazy. Like, so Whitney was just crazy with it. Like, where, yeah, you know, you didn't know what she was going to do. Hey, yo, Mayor, mm-hmm, call Clark Kent and tell him I'm on my live. What? Tell Mayor to call DJ Clark Kent and tell him I'm on my live because he keeps calling me. And so Whitney was on a different level. You know, I seen a video the other day with Faith Evans, and she was just going crazy. Mm-hmm. And you similar. You sing. How did you come about singing, and when did you know you had what it took to be professional like that?
Thank you, first and foremost. It's the black voices. I'm not going to lie. I grew up listening to 702 and Escape and SWV and Destiny's Child and, you know, Whitney Houston and Faith. That, like, it was different the time that they were making music. You know what I mean? I had this conversation the other day. Them girls was going. You know what I mean? Like, they was going. And it was beautiful, healthy competition. You know what I mean? I felt like, you know, even when you look at records like Heartbreak Hotel, you had Kelly Price, Whitney Houston. Who else was on Heartbreak Hotel? I can't believe I'm saying
it. I think it was Faith.
Yes, Faith. All three of them on one record, but going toe for toe. But it was supportive, and it was amazing, and it was riffs and rhymes, harmonies, and like those were the things that we watched growing up. And so, you know, you want to be like the women that you watch on TV every day. And so, you know, that's always going to be the bar. You know, can't nobody hold a candle to them women. Always going to be the bar, you know?
You know what's crazy is why you say that. I thought of my era, and I thought of Secret Garden. Barry White, you know, and Elder Barge.
That's one of my dad's favorite songs. He literally like, he loved that record. That's crazy.
Let me tell you something. You,
yeah.
Them boys, they performed it one time at an award show.
Word.
And man, look, I got goosebumps telling you that. Like, that shit was like different. Like, they were the greatest at the time, and they all got busy and Barry White and other. And I'll be sure. I mean,
wow.
I love records like that. We had Johnny Gill last night, and we was talking about Can You Stand the Rain?
Oh, come on now. Come on now. I just wish I could have been a fly in the wall when they made that record. Like, I just wanted to be a fly on the wall. It's just so many elements to it. Jesus, like, every melody they cared about. Every single melody, every line, every chord. It was just, that record, it still stands the test of today. It's still a put chill bumps on your arms. Can You Stand the Rain? It's different. Different.
Is it different now, or am I missing something? Because I, you know, Keith Sweat's my guy, and we had Guy and Aaron Hall, and God, tough guys would drive around the hood pumping the R&B slow joints. And is it different now? Like, because I don't really hear the youth really, or am I just don't know what I'm talking about? Are people really bumping guys like Jodeci and like at my time we were bumping that, like rap and Jodeci.
Yeah.
Tupac and Jodeci.
Well, this is the thing. I think that it's just they still are bumping like good music. It's just different. You know what I mean? Like, I think about people like Eric Bellinger. I don't know if you're familiar, but Eric Bellinger is one hell of a singer-songwriter. You know what I mean? Like, you want to hear some singing? Listen to some Eric Bellinger. You know what I mean? You want to hear something? Brent Faiyaz be singing his ass off. You know, Black gonna give you a vibe and sing his ass off. It's just different vibes, pockets of it. But that makes me happy because it's like, you know, taking you know, R&B and kind of making this really cool hybrid of where we are today and where we've been. And if you listen to the lyricism is still there, which is a huge part for me, and the melodies are still there. And if you listen to certain people, if you want your riffs and your runs, you listen to your Jasmines, you listen to Sullivan's, you listen to your Eric Bellamy. They gonna give you that, you know what I mean? You listen to your Her, she gonna give you that, you know what I mean? It's still there. It's just different pockets of R&B. It just depends on what your ear preference is.
Yeah, so it ain't your traditional baby face or whatever. It's a different pocket. You're saying the message is the same, but they just singing it a little wavy, a little 2000s, 2.0-ish.
Yeah, a little wavy, a little different. But it's there. If you seek it and you really want to find it, it's there to be found. I think that conversations like this and talking about it and telling people about, hey, if you really want that R&B, go to listen to these certain people. I think that the more we talk about it, the more we spread it, the more the type of R&B that we're talking about, it's gonna spread a little bit more. It's coming back in a way that's really different, and I'm excited about it because it's new. It's a hybrid. You know, we're taking a lot. I know I do it all the time. I love to listen to all of the old school records and flip them and turn them into something new. And like, you know, I live.
You can really sing. You actually have to dub it down for this new wave. Like, you could have came out in the SWV, that era, and blow it down and still be relevant in that era. A lot of people now, and I'm not putting you in the middle of this, but a lot of people now, you know, they getting away with less vocal ability.
Listen.
That's not that, yeah, you know, I know you love everybody, but I'm just saying that you really sing.
Thank you.
For real. Now, your affiliation, how do you get signed? And did Chris Brown discover you?
Well, it was the craziest story, and I tell it all the time. I literally, we were managed by the same person, and we were at a and our sessions were across the hall, and I saw him in the hallway and stopped him and was like, hey, can I come write with you? And he was just like, yeah. He was like, yeah, I'm gonna start in a little bit. I'm gonna come back and get you. And I was like, All right, bet. So I waited in the lobby. And just like you said, he was a man of his word. He came back and said, hey, we're about to start writing. And I didn't have any placements. I had never really written any songs. But I was like, shit, Chris Brown in the studio across the hall. Shit, I'm going to try, you know. And it just worked out. Ended up writing a song with him that night that he ended up cutting on my group at the time. And from that point on, we just, anytime I was near him, I would just ask to write, and he would always welcome me, and that turned into me writing 7 songs on Fame with him, 7 songs on Fortune with him, writing Fine China with him, Eric Bellinger, and Rockstar. So it just kind of turned over into, it turned into that, and I ended up becoming his artist, and that was the whole thing. So it was just a really beautiful time and a great space. I learned so much, I can't even express.
You know, it's amazing because, you know, Chris Brown, to me, he's in the R&B world, right? Because one time I got shot for this. I said Drake is the Michael Jackson of the time simply because every record Drake puts out goes number one. I meant it in a number one hit way. But if there's anybody who's comparable to Michael Jackson, it's Chris Brown.
Yeah.
And his success is... He's young, but he's almost going on a 20-year run.
It's been a really, really insane run. And I don't think he's planning on stopping anytime soon. He's not going to stop no time soon. Nobody's colder than that boy. Ain't nobody going to out-sing him, out-dance him. It just is what it is. So I just think I want, you know, he deserves his flowers on top of flowers on top of flowers, period. Period.
Somebody I've been looking at and I've been a fan of is the brother Giveon.
His tone is fucking insane. His tone is insane. Shout out Giveon. Yo, that tone is insane. I remember the first time I heard him on the Drake record, I thought it was a sample, my nigga. I really did. I'm like, and they were like, no, he really sounds like that. I'm like, okay, what is there like a box in your throat, my guy? Like, his tone is insane. Yeah.
You know, I sleep. With I sleep to BET Soul, the videos. No, I gotta sleep with the TV on.
Yeah.
And so I sleep to BET Soul, and one night it was maybe 4 a.m. That's how I know. I couldn't help it. I was sleeping, turning over. I got up.
Yes.
And I stared at the TV, and it was Giveon for the first time. I didn't hear him on Drake and nothing like that. And I said, "Oh my God." He's one of them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is a big boy. Like, yeah. I knew from the first minute I heard the song, I looked at him, I said, oh, this is a big boy. Like, he's one of them guys on go. His style, but he's elite.
Yeah.
He's different.
Yeah. It's a couple of them. Like, him, Lucky Day, like, it's them tones are unmatched, but it just makes me happy because it's beautiful black music, beautiful black and brown music that's happening right now. And I'm here for every ounce of it. Like, let them boys get their
What do you want, Seven, man? Because, Seven, you've been doing this a while.
Yeah.
Nobody believes in themselves more than you.
Yeah.
Because you won't give up. You keep coming and coming and coming and coming. What type of dreams do you have? Like, what... What do you envision you at your highest peak? Mm-hmm. What do you want?
You know what? For me, I'm gonna be honest, and this has always been the place that I have to live in because in the business that we're in, every day. You know, I say all the time. You know, I've taken a couple body shots, I've taken a couple uppercuts, I've taken a couple. You know what I mean? But every day, I just want to continue to love what I do. You know what I mean? I love music. I genuinely love writing songs. And, you know, even now, like, I jumped into my acting bag. You know, I'm on Sacrifice on BET, and that's been so much fun to do. So shout out Paula Patton and BET. That's fun. I'm working on something with Anthony Anderson, a docuseries. So that's amazing. I just want to be creative in ways that I can be and continue to write songs. And for me, I haven't put out a project in 3 years. You know what I mean? So my project, Drunken Words, Sober Thoughts, really is my baby. And I just want to continue to give my supporters the things that they love to receive from me. At the end of the day, that's a space I live in and I stay in because, if you look at all the other shit and get distracted by all the other shit, and nah, I stay in that space and I stay in that head frame. So to answer your question, what are my dreams? I'm living my dreams. It don't get better. I get to wake up every day and sing and write songs and give them to people who actually enjoy singing them. It don't get no better than that. Ever.
It's incredible, but let me tell you something. It's called longevity, right? Mm-hmm. And some people, you wonder why they throw out one record and they become the biggest people in the world. And then some people who are a million times more talented go through this journey. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's easy for me to say 25 years later, right?
Come on,
but
go.
I think that allows your audience to grow with you.
Absolutely.
And support you from day one. And then when you really, really blow to another level, they're like, yeah, that's my girl. Like, I've been telling y'all, she's the one.
Man, because you know what it is? Like, that's the part of the journey. That's the fun part. I love going to my shows and seeing fans that were there at the first shows and the early concerts and that, and then looking up and they're still there supporting and they're still there tweeting me. And I know them when I see them. I know them when I see their Instagram names or That means the world to me. That's what we do this for. You know what I mean? We don't make music just to listen to it in our houses and keep it to ourselves. We do this for the people. So the journey, it really is about the journey. And honestly, for me, it's been a beautiful last journey. I wouldn't change not one ounce of my journey.
Let me tell you something, this new song, this video with you in that red dress.
Thank you.
Man, they must have ran out of red dress material, huh? There's another one I heard, and I immediately heard it. I was like, "Oh, thank Seven you. Got one."
Thank you, man. Guilty is really my baby right now. I'm happy that people fuck with it. You know what I mean? And thank you. But videos.
Everybody, go out there, download Guilty.
Yes,
it's fire. There's no question about it.
Thank
it's
you.
It's super, super fire. Let me. Actually, one last question, because you know we got on here late.
Yeah.
Who's your top five R&B of all time?
Why would you do this to me, bruh?
I need it though, because we respect you, and we respect your, you know, we respect what you say.
Bro, I'm stressed out right now, bro. My top five. R&B, like male or female, or just
should we just go female, or would it be easier for you to say male and female? I want to make it easier for you.
Okay, let's just do female, because if I do male and female, I can't.
You're gonna miss out on too much.
Let's
do female,
and this is still gonna be hard. But top five females, I'm gonna have to say Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill is definitely one. I'm going to have to say, can I add in groups? Because I can't, like, not have the, like, I'm going to add in groups. I'm going to say Lauryn Hill. I got to say SWV because I'm an SWV head. I love them girls. Other R&B, I'm going to have to say, you can only pick all the girl groups. Actually, can I just pick girl groups? SWV, Escape, Destiny's Child, 702, Brandy. I can't pick one, Joe. That ain't fair. Like,
you're supposed to pick five.
I mean, I can't pick just five. Like, it's just all.
My mind change all the time. Let me tell you where I'm at right now with my five. Now, I got four right now. Immediately, you know, because I like to, you know, when I go to the studio, I don't like to hear the music. I like to hear it when I go in the studio and then start writing, right? Off-the-top freestyle four was, she may be too old for you, but Denise Williams.
No, it's not too old for me.
Patrice Rushen.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston.
Oh, Anita Baker. I forgot Anita Baker. I'm tripping.
There you go. That's five. Anita Baker and Mary J. Blige. That's my five today. It's the shit change.
It's gonna change tomorrow, my nigga. It's gonna change tomorrow. Because it just, I mean, honestly, it's just too many bum black women with beautiful ass voices to choose from. I'm just sorry. It is what it is.
And let me tell you something. You posted a picture of your mother the other day. She bad as fuck.
Ain't she? Like, listen, you know,
nah, she the real one.
Thank you.
Nah, what do you mean? I ain't mean, that's my sister, man. She know what I mean. I mean in love, man. I'm fuck out of here.
Karen is definitely a baddie. She's a little baddie.
Listen. What's her name, Karen? She Miss Karen?
Yeah, Miss Karen. Karen is a baddie. Hey. Tim knew what he was doing, okay? Tim absolutely knew. Shout out to my parents, by the way. They just renewed their vows. They celebrated 30 years. They renewed their vows this weekend. It was the most beautiful ceremony ever. We danced, we cried, we laughed.
Did you sing? Did you sing at it?
I sang, yeah. We sang at the reception. It was fun. We had a really incredible band, and they started playing before I do. And you know, I get up there and sing for my people. My parents. It was fun.
Was you nervous or you was just going?
Nah, first of all, I had a couple cocktails in me, so I was really, it was good. We was good. We had so much fun. So much
fun. I just feel like artists, true creatives, when it's your family or your friends, like I go to my friend's weddings, and it's always Fat Joe performing live for free. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, they 9 times out of 10, they're rich already.
Come on.
I give them an envelope with some cash, but that's nothing to them. The best thing I could do, getting married, your brother Fat Joe there.
Right.
Throw the What's Love on, lean back, let's go. Let's blow the fucking roof off, and I'm out.
You already know. Listen, you know, if you come to one of my family functions, you absolutely perform it. Absolutely. I go to yours, I'm performing at yours. You come to mine, you perform it at mine. It is what it is.
Yo, that's sad, man, because when I do my birthday parties and I invite my friends, they already know.
They know.
Performing live, Mary J. Blige, like, performing live, Mark Anthony, like, this should be like the Grammys in that motherfucker, and they gotta go.
Come on. But you had a best time. When it's like that, and it's your people, it's the best time, because it really turned into a celebration of, hey, like, you my friend, but you fire. And, like, I admire what it is that you do. It really turns into that. It's a celebration with your friends. Like, I live for it.
You know, it's crazy, but one birthday, R. Kelly was at my birthday, right? Man, that boy grabbed that mic, and he rocked for, like, 2 hours straight.
Well, I can't. I mean, when you have a discography, and then you at your brother's, your brother's celebration, you already said what type of time it is. Gotta come out.
I never forget when the guy asked for the mic.
Jesus.
He was like, yo, get me the mic.
Wow.
And I told the DJ, load him up. Yo, it's crazy. Cause you go to my birthday, it's almost like a promoter who only paid you to walk through and sit down, but they throw your music on. It's like, yo, Mary J is sitting in the back like, damn, Joe, I ain't come here to sing.
What? And then you be on your third song, and then you be looking for the DJ to stop playing the next one, and they start playing the next one. You already get it. You can't look at them and tell them to stop. You got to keep it going. It is what
man,
it is.
Man, it's crazy. Sis, I love you. Be safe. I hope to see you soon.
I love you, too. You stay
God amazing. Bless you.
Amazing. I'm so proud of you. You keep rocking and stay an amazing person. You've always been amazing.
Thank you so much, Seth. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
And you guys never know who I know. Okay? I'm tired of coming on here every night with the biggest in the game, the greatest in the game. And I wish I tell you, I don't try to put nobody on the spot, but I wish I would have forced Seven to sing some Whitney Houston, because I have never heard nobody sing Whitney Houston better than Seven. When I say nobody, I say nobody. Yo, Tone Sunshine, what's up, my brother? And so, you guys never know who I know. And I know everybody. It's simple as that. And every day, Jesse Keg, what's up? Every day I keep coming on here. Tomorrow night I got Neo. Why? Because I feel like it. It's R&B week. Thursday, Cool from Cool in the Gang. We get people on here that you ain't never seen in your life. But Seven is super duper talented. I look forward to her knocking some out the park. Her game, her longevity, it's happened like that for me. It wasn't until my fourth album that I really went platinum. I'm not an overnight success. And so the woman keeps throwing out great, great, great music. She bound to catch it. You got to check out our new single, Guilty. It's amazing. Listen, y'all. Let your darkest moments bring your most clarity. If you went through trouble, hard times, and your so-called friends and family turned their back on you and wasn't there for you, don't lie to yourself. They not with you. Keep it pushing. Trust God. Believe in God. God is the greatest. Do good times and bad times. Bad times, please, God, help me out. But remembering the good times as well. When things are going well and you're doing great, trust God, believe in God, pray to God. Peace, y'all. We the biggest in the game.